Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh-ay-o. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-o. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-o. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-o. Mm-hmm.
I've been walking.
Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-o.
My face turned mm-hmm. to
ooh-ay-o. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-o. Mm-hmm.
Weight on my shoulder.
Back of my head, just in case I have to run. Do what I can when I can, while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night,
that's why I wanna
stand up,
take my people with me.
Going
to a
brand new home far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling, calling me to enter?
Gotta keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones,
and I know ooh, what's around the bend might be hard to face, 'cause I'm alone.
Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. Today's air date is April 23rd, 2021. I am back. We are back up and running, doing our thing. We are, everybody's in good health. The ancestors are making sure that everything is moving smoothly. Come on into the digital den, get comfortable. We have a great, great show lined up for you all today. On in, if you would like to join in the call, I want to invite you all to call in and join the show at 516-387-1549. We're going to get into a great conversation with our special guest today. I'm going to do a little housekeeping, and then we're going to get started. First, as always, I would like to say salute to our political prisoners, our POWs, and our elder comrades that are still locked behind these enemy walls. We had Elder Romaine Chip Fitzgerald to die last month. Now we have Elder Comrade Mumia. He's scheduled for emergency heart surgery. His health is deteriorating. His only cure and his only way of being health is his freedom. We need to stand with our elders and demand their immediate releases. We have programs that are out here that are doing the job and working with our political prisoners and our families that are behind these walls. They need our assistance. We need to change the way we are thinking about this family. Reach out to the Jericho movement. We got the strategic immediate release campaign. Elder Mama Pamela Africa, reach out to these people and do what you can do to assist and help. Salute to all black media platforms and our sisters and brothers that keep bringing us this knowledge and truth during this time. We already know that lies are out there. We have to keep circulating what is factual and what is African-centered and what is about us, because these distractions gonna keep us distracted and unfocused. We got to remain focused and on our jobs. We got things we need to be doing, fam. And we're not saying you're not supposed to live your life and have fun, but you got to live your life in survival mode as a black, as an African in this country of America. And we have to teach our children. I want to say salute to all our brothers and sisters and fathers and mamas that are out here educating our children. African-centered. Our children need to learn who they are, so that they can navigate through this sickness and this disease that's out here. Teach them who they are, family. Salute to Brother Noble and our sister Mo and family in Colorado with Unity Community and Mile High News. Y'all keep doing that great work. Thank you all. We love you all. All right. Like again, I would like to say welcome to the show. If you want to call in, 516-387-1549. I'm about to unmute our mics of our special guest today, and I want to introduce our special guest to the show. Today we have Lieutenant Jahi and Lieutenant Ahmad Alexander. Oh, I forgot to say your last name, Lieutenant Jahi. I apologize. And Lieutenant Ahmad from the Black Youth Intelligence Movement and the BYLC out of the Mississippi area. Welcome to the show, guys. How y'all doing today?
All is well. Peace and black power. Peace and black power.
Peace and power, family. All is well. All is well. Nice to meet y'all. Nice to be back on the show. We had a great time last time. We're looking forward to everything.
Thank you. Thank y'all for joining us today. Like I said, like we were talking before the show, y'all are some of the young brothers I have been so impressed. I mean, every time I hear you all speaking, the work that you all doing, and I myself work with Mama Crystal and Baba Patrick with the Ashe Academy and different things like that, and I see the work that you all are doing down there, and it's just phenomenal. I love it. I want each one of you all to start off by telling us a little bit about yourselves and what groomed you all into being those unapologetic young men that you are today. So whoever wants to start, go ahead.
Well, I'll start off. Well, my name and rank is Deputy Jahi Akili of the BYLC and the BYIM. I'm born and raised in Lafayette County, Mississippi, in Taylor, Mississippi, born and raised here. And what gave me the calling was simply love for the people, love for my people, standing the plight of my people. We can no longer, how you say, stand on the sidelines and watch our people struggle any longer. And it's really understanding this. The ancestors flows through every one of us as Africans, but the ancestors latch on to those they see fit who is strong enough to lead the way. And every generation has their leaders. Every generation has its voice. Every generation has its movement. So basically what moved me was understanding the ancestors that came before me, especially the biggest influence upon me, those who know me, the bigger influence upon me was Malcolm X, Etta Hodge, Malik Elsbaz, who I was introduced to my first black teacher, who was my history teacher, who introduced me that the sixth grade. So ever since then, the seed of knowledge, the seed of liberation, was planted in my mind, and therefore it had to grow and develop and strengthen, and therefore the man I am right now. the deputy of the BYOC, Jahir Keeley. So therefore, it's all about understanding the plight of our people and the struggle of our people. And because the mission is not complete. The ancestors know this. So the ancestors latched on to me and my brother Ahmad years ago. The first time we took our breath, when we came out of our mother's womb, they latched on to us. And therefore the seed was planted. And therefore you're speaking to the new generation of black leaders, the new generation of revolutionaries, liberators of this new era. So I yield the mic. I bring it to my captain, Ahmad Raheem Alexander.
Well, I'll say, for me, I was fortunate to be born into that role. So me, I had it real firsthand, seeing the struggle, understanding the struggle, understanding the dynamic that we live in. And my daddy's always told me, so he ain't never shied me away from it. That's just the kind of man he is. Yeah, I probably know my brother, Patrick Alexander. I know he's been on the show numerous of times. But me, I grew up. And like he said, the ancestors last long to at an early age, you know, a lot of time, got a lot of time to say, this job should be done, this job should be born. And as me and Dad, he had to talk yesterday. Like, they've been calling us for so long, we got to initial take that family. And I say I took action, I say probably about a year and a half ago. That's when I really just said, okay, this is what I need to be doing and this is what I'm going to do. I always was hands-on with my father, do what he got to do. So the knowledge was always there. But it got to the point where I said, okay, now is the time to take action. And that was like 2 years ago. And when I took that action, just started trickling down to the point where we built this movement. And I met my brother Jahi. Now we did connect, but now we physically connect. Yes, but now we physically connected, and we want to make it big of us again, growing up, growing together. We want to bring other people to this movement. So I think for me, I was born into it. And like you said, Queen, it started at birth. And if we can get this action at birth, bring that children to know who we are, it'll be more of a movement. Because you know who we are, will make you stand up for yourself and be unapologetic about it. And I feel like that's the biggest thing. We going into it, I'm not apologetic about it because I know what I'm in. And I know
what I'm in.
So I want to do that.
Can you hear me? Your phone is, for some reason, your phone has started breaking up. When you had said after Queen, I couldn't hear anything you were saying. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I'm a bad earlier, but I try to make it as clear as possible. But basically, what I was saying was, like you said earlier, Queen.
Go ahead. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me, sister?
Yes, I hear you, Brother Jahim. Did his phone hold on, we'll just hold on a second and let him get his phone. See if his phone connects.
Can you hear me now?
That's Brother Mott. Okay, yeah, yes, ma'am. We hear you. Go ahead.
The knowledge was already there from birth, but the action took place probably 2 years ago, which drove me to, like he said, the ancestors had led us to this situation in this point of circumstance where we got this movement now and we're connecting with these people. So I say about 2 years ago, we like really started taking action, and it just guided us to this point right here, and we want to keep growing and building from there.
All right. Like I said, thank you. And I'm sorry about the connection. It might be my computer. I'm not even sure. But, yeah, I heard that, and I appreciate that, Arshe. And one of the things, like, with everything going on right now, right, and I know that their baby was killed the other day, and it's a lot of, it's still, these kids still murdering us.
even though we got the verdict in the trial and all this different thing, with you all being young black men going through this, right, I wanna hear you all's thoughts, like your frustrations, what you all are feeling right now as young black youth.
Well, sister, it's all about, I'm trying to, you know, not let my emotions cloud my judgment right now. I got to be articulate. I got to be clear when I say this. We are sick and we are tired of this bullshit. Excuse my language right here. But we are tired of this. We are tired and we are tired. And the frustration, the anger because of this, it keep continuing to happen. It's almost like a cycle, a continuous cycle. And like this, I remember when Trayvon Martin happened. I must have been 7th grade, 8th grade, probably my 7th grade year. And I fully understood what it's to be a young black man in this country even then. And then we saw our brother Mike Brown. And so many continuing names is added to the list to our fallen brothers and sisters. And now we have our little sister, Micaiah Bryant, in Columbus, Ohio, who was murdered, shot 4 times in the chest. And the frustration is this. I'm trying to let my emotion get to me. I'm trying not to cloud my judgment and cloud my being articulate. But the frustration of this, we are tired of seeing this continuing to happen. Ain't shit gonna be done. They play, and I'm talking about the enemy, our oppressors. They play with our emotions. They understand when we see this lynching, these are modern day lynchings. Back in the day, they used to have mobs and ropes. Now they have cops and bullets. These are modern-day lynchings. We must understand that this is modern-day lynchings. And the frustration of this, and this is my opinion, and me and Ma had this conversation a few days ago, this is not going to stop until black people finally put their foot down and articulate themselves and say, we're not going to go through this mess any longer. And we have to fully respond to this. We have to respond. The biggest mistake our people have ever done in the modern day era regarding to this, we didn't make Joe Zimmerman an example. He's still walking around. He's still breathing. He's still having, how you say, a hunky-dory life, knowing he killed our brother in cold blood. So we didn't make him an example. We didn't respond how we should have responded. And therefore, now these cops are getting more comfortable. I told them this is not going to stop until these cops understand if I pull this trigger and I kill this unarmed black man or I kill this unarmed black woman, my life and my family is in danger. And when people hear this, they think, oh, that is violence. No, this is common sense. This is common sense. So it's not going to stop until those cops who pull that trigger, their peace will be disturbed. Their life will be in danger. And that's all it will come down to it. For me as a young black man, I'm angry. I'm tired of this. And I told my all the time, I'll be damned if I allow my son or allow my daughter to be another Trayvon Martin, another Ahmaud Arbery, another Breonna Taylor, another Micaiah Bryant. I'll be damned if I allow that to happen. I'm going to do all my power to achieve that so that won't happen. So I'm going to take the sacrifice that is needed for our people to stand up. I yield the mic to Ahmaud.
my frustration with the whole situation and the situation that continues to go along is well overboard with these racist cops, the racist society. It's obvious, and they don't even care. But my frustration with ourselves, I'm holding us accountable, that our top hat ain't doing more to push the issue. The silent protest, the margin is fine, but how long will that last? They know they do it like ants. They stare our pile up and just watch us work to build it back together. And when we build it back together, what we feel is it's got some type of unity, we let it go. It's like we come together to separate. We had so much unity in this pandemic, all this BS is going on. I really felt confident that we were going to finally come to the awakening that we needed, because it's like everybody was on the same tab. But when we get that unity, we don't realize the power of our unity, the power that we have as a collective to actually make something happen. We saw our power. We had our power. And they feared it to a certain extent because they believe the same thing that we believe. And they realized that. But once they realize it, they'll hide their hand. They always throw the rock and hide their hand. Try to be our friend. And then we could take the pacifier. Me and Jahi, like Jahi said, we were talking about that earlier. They always give us a pacifier, we suck. They always give us a pacifier, we suck. But I feel like us as a young, we should be talking to our top heads. Who we getting in politics, who we getting in these offices, who we getting for these judges and lawyers. They need to fight for it. They need to be the one stepping forward pushing the issue. Because if us, as the conscious community, as the black people that really care, if we could, we would. If we can just go out there and start blowing brains, I'm pretty sure a lot of us would. But we need to find out how to suffer the consequences. These cops ain't suffering no consequences for what they're doing. And it's kind of like market. It ain't kind of like market. It is market. And it got to the point where it irritates me as a black man to know. And it's no question what I do about mine. If that happened to mine, ain't no question what my family will do about it. It's war. And I feel like that's a black American. It should be war. It's past war time. It's been happening way before this, way before Trayvon, way before all that. Since Lincoln Day. So the war has been declared. But it's just time for us to sell and go war. But we go to society and our society, so it's the whole world, to be honest. We got the most power, but they treat it like a minority. And they didn't suppress us so much that we don't even realize our own power, and that's the most frustrating thing about it. And I yield the mic there.
I say, and I totally agree with both of you all, because like you were saying, Brother Ahmad, Lieutenant Ahmad, about us, I felt the same way when the pandemic came, that we were getting together, you know what I'm saying? But it's always somebody that looks like us in the mix that operates with them that breaks up that unity as well, because that comes into my next question of how they have commercialized our deaths, right? We got people like Tamika Mallory, Mission, and different folks like that working against us, right? So how are we going to deal with those enemies as we still fighting? We know who our sworn enemies are, but it's so hard when they looking just like us.
Yes,
ma'am.
And that's the
limit
for
that. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, and that's the pacifier they give us. They put someone that looks like us in there, but we don't go into depth. And Baba told us this plenty of time. We don't go into depth to check who we put in these positions. We don't go do their background check. We just see that they look like us. Whole time, we know that their mindset ain't like us. They don't care about our best interest. We're not the one that's putting money in their pocket, so they're not going to take care of us. We are a monetize society now. Like, money drives us. We have no moral respect for who we are. So when they put these people that look like us in these top positions, we feel comfortable. We feel like, okay, now we in a position to do what we got to do. Whole time, we don't know who these people are. Whole time, they are the enemy dressed in our skin. They are wolves sleeping dressed in sheepskin. That's basically what they are. And that's the most damaging thing that we can be, because they get us relaxed again. They're just all pacifiers that they give us. And it's very toxic to our growth. And I yield there, Jahi.
Go ahead, bro, Jahi.
I'm here. Like I said, I'm at work right now. And I'm trying to do a secure job, but let me add on to what my brother said on that very topic. We're talking about Tamika Matter, all of them. These are so-called, I say, doing the same skin folk. It's not always your kin folk. And these people like Tamika Matter, they commercialize on our struggle. They profit on our struggle. So therefore, we must, as the youth, must look to those who really stand for us and those who represent us as a people, as a collective. We not in their pockets. They in their pockets, in our enemy pockets. So therefore, they have the so-called, they are puppets. They are puppets to push a narrative and push an agenda that is not adequate for our people. And we must understand this. They not for us. They don't represent us. They are not our voice. They are not our leaders. They are our puppets. And I always say, we need people like me and Ahmad, like Baba, our Baba. These are the real leaders. These are the real, this is the collective voice of a new generation to stand up for our people, regardless what happens. So therefore, these are puppets. These are dogs, almost. They bark. They do all that barking. Then when the white man throws them a bone, they pipe down and they turn against their own people and they start barking and growling at us. And you know what, adult? And why I say this, please excuse my rhetoric when I say this. You know what, a dog do all that barking, all that biting? They get put down. And that's what we got to do as a people. We got to put these people down. And tell them you don't speak for us, therefore you don't represent us, because you are in the white man's pocket. You are the white man's puppet. So therefore you don't speak for us. So you need to shut up, or you need to change your mindset and change your way of thinking towards your own people and stop being these people's pockets, or it's going to be a problem or else. And we got to stand up. We got to represent that going forward, and we're going to represent that going forward. No matter what, we're going to call out these so-called politicians, these so-called lawyers, these so-called judges, they look like us. It's like this vice president we got right now, this so-called sister, this so-called queen, Kamala Harris. Just because she's in the White House doesn't mean she's for us. She said it plain, and we as a people is so naive. Just because she went to an HBCU, just because she played a black fraternity, a.k.a., doesn't mean she's going to be for us. Doesn't mean she represent us. So we got to put these so-called black leaders, these so-called black politicians, these so-called black leaders, activists, we need to put them down. And me and my brother and people, we organize and we cultivate. And those who understand and follow us, they're going to rise up to become the new leaders of our people, the new revolutionaries, the new liberators for our people. But we're not activists. We are not activists by any means. We are revolutionaries and we are liberators. And I yield the mic.
I say, y'all speaking truth to power today. I love that. Because that's going to go right into our next question. Because just like we're talking about these issues. I look at, you know, I strongly believe in that word Sankofa, reaching back to the past
to bring forth what we, you know, the structure that we had back then, but bring it to the new and to the youth, right? And like I've said before, and I've discussed with a lot of people, I was one of those stubborn mothers, right? Because I was raised this certain way, and I, you know, I'm stuck this way, and I have to do it this way. But our youth are stubborn. They're unapologetic. They're angry. They're hurt. They're misinformed, miseducated. They have a lot of things on them that we don't even think about because we too focused on what's going on with us. We're not sharing the information and sharing the knowledge with these children. And I want you all to speak about the elders versus the elders, because in that scenario, Baba Patrick and Mama Crystal are elders all way, all day. You know what I'm saying? So I want y'all to each weigh in on that part.
Go ahead, Mom. You start it off. I'll come after you.
The elders versus the elders. Me, personally, I was fortunate to be surrounded by great elders. And what I feel that a great elder is someone who's willing to sit down and listen. An elder going to listen to his child's cry, going to understand his child's pain, solve his experience, how he dealt with it. He or she will give you the best advice to operate through that situation that you're in. With our elders are those type people. They don't always preach to us. They listen. They let us speak. And they love to hear us speak. And when we're wrong, they're not afraid to correct us when we're wrong, but it's in a respectful way. They always respect our words. But elders are different. Elders are people, they're stuck in the same old. They think they know it all. Just because you done spent a lot of time here doesn't mean that you know it all, because time passes you by also is a major thing that's wrong with elders. They don't want to listen. They are stubborn. They feel as if their way is the way that it should be. You should never poke at the beehive. You should never poke at the beehive. You should always go by this, that, and this. You're not looking for change. And an elder will respect you because they know the generation is changing. They know that the time is changing. So we might know something that they don't. And if an older is not willing to listen and not willing to understand that the situation and circumstances have not changed, you is toxic to the youth. You won't let the youth grow. The youth is growing with time. The older / elders realize, well, should realize, that time is passing by. It is a new generation that's coming through. So we should listen, but we should always keep our wisdom with them as they go forward and as they grow up. And I feel like that's the biggest thing in an elder and an older, is that the older elders will listen, and the elders are stubborn. They don't want to listen. They don't want to give you best interest for yourself. They want to give you best interest that got them through the situation. But the situation is changing, so you got to be open to hear what's going on, so you can adjust your way of thinking in the youth. And I use them like them.
And let me, this is my favorite topic here. I don't hold back. I ain't going to hold back no punches. The oldest, they need to sit down and take a nap. Me and my mom, we have elders, our Baba, our Queen Mother Crystal, Baba Sabaka, Baba Evans that come to the headquarters. We have tremendous, wonderful elders. And I take pride in saying that I know them and they are my teachers. But the oldest are stuck in their ways. They don't grasp the thinking of a new era. They stuck in time. They stuck in the past. Just because what they done in their time, they think it will work in this time. name from the work. Because your time, you was passive. Your time, you let all that's happened to us as a people, you let it pass on. And you do not, you didn't take the action to help the youth. And I always say all the time, it's a new day, it's a new era. But we as a youth must look to elders, not the oldest. Because I had one conversation with an older recently. And she said she's not oppressed. She's been mistreated, but she's not oppressed. I was going to say something, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful. That's not who I am. But I do not hold back punches. But I say this, the youth must rally towards the elders, because the elders know the way, but the youth can move it to move it to another step. And I yield the mic.
That's what I'm talking about. Y'all have some powerful words. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes, yes, yes. And now we're going to move on to this, because as speaking, as both of you all have said, dealing with some of our people, they are miseducated. And a lot of that miseducation, and I heard a Baba talking today. I think his name is Baba Kaba. I forgot how to pronounce his name. But he was like, ignorance breeds fear. And I know fear is one of the things that it breeds, right? So with us being so misinformed with the politics that are going on and how these people are moving, we know who they are, right? But a lot of people don't know how they use this system to oppress us through their politics. We need to be more politically educated on what is happening, right? So I want you all, I have heard you all speak on it, because I'm going to tell y'all, I'm one of the ones I don't do it. I hate it. But listening to you all speak about it and the need for us to have political education is making me look at it a different way. So I want each one of you all to talk about that.
Well, sir, it's like this. Before we can talk about any politics, we must organize. Before we talk about any social reform, we must organize. Before we talk any reparations, we must organize. But in saying that, how can I make this clear? Politics is warfare. It's politics is warfare where I ain't bloodshed. And I always say all the time, you want to beat the enemy in their game, you must learn their game, but don't play by their rules. So we must use politics as our weapon against this enemy. We must dismantle any policies, any politics that is detrimental to our liberation. And we must get a better understanding of this political circus. It's a circus. But we must understand this going forward as a people. We must understand before we talk anything about politics, any social reform, any, we talk about any reparations, taking back the land that should be ours. We must organize. Like our ancestor Ken Forrest, Kwame Ture, always said, we got to organize to become a political force to be reckoned with. Because once we are organized, therefore they cannot control us. They can't put the fire out once we organize. So we talk about politics. And we must understand, no political party is going to save us as a people. No political party whatsoever. And we must understand that going forward. Like I said, I'm no Democrat and I'm no Republican. I'm simply black. I'm unapologetically black and proud. That is my party. And like our Baba always said, no Victorian document is going to save us as a people. We got to save ourselves for self. And when we say do for self, that means we're not dependent on nobody. We're not dependent on no government. We are dependent on no white man, no enemy. We dependent on ourselves, amongst ourselves as collective, not as individuals. And that's why we in the same condition right now. Most of our people think as individuals. They do not think as a collective. They do not think as a nation. So going forward, we must organize into a powerful force that is to be reckoned with, a powerful force that cannot be crumbled down. So before we can talk anything about politics or policies, we as a people, we as the youth, got to organize. We got to organize to become a powerful political force, and that is what the BYLC, the BYIM, the Black Liberation Movement is all about, organizing into a political power force that's due for self and unapologetically black and proud, unapologetically black as Africans. And I yield the mic to my brother.
You hit the nail on the head, bro. I yield it in it.
All righty. I say. Thank y'all for that. Because I am, like I said, I understand how they operate. And we understand this. And their political education is so crucial. I am a part, you know, a citizen of the Republic of New Africa. So being politically educated on what is going on and learning what they are doing behind the scenes, open your eyes even a little wider. So I want to move right along to the next question. I know y'all, we talked about, you know, the volcanic eruptions over there in St. Vincent, right, where they were, you know, the people running from ash and different things like this, and they sent in the ships to evacuate, but you are vaccinated, you can't, you know, get on the ship. You can't even be evacuated from a natural disaster. So I want us to talk about that and talk about these vaccinations and these new rules and things that they're trying to put in place, because the way I look at it, you know, my doctor going to tell me the other day, you know, well, Miss Tim, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, you gonna, they're not going to let you in these certain. Hey, lock me out of all this shit. I don't give a damn, you know. But I want to hear y'all's opinion on it. Stop.
Go ahead.
The vaccination, man, it's crazy. The whole situation is crazy. So you telling me these folks are in a real natural disaster, and you gonna stop them from escaping it because they don't want to take a vaccine? That's crazy to me. You tell me vaccination for a pandemic, for a virus that y'all didn't came up with. Then I that a lot of folks have that. But who to say it was the coronavirus? I feel as if a lot of folks got put labeled on. A lot of folks killed in hospitals because of this. The virus didn't do what the hospital did. And me personally, I know somebody that's close to me. My uncle died because they didn't call him in the hospital. It wasn't. He wasn't down there bad, but he let his oxygen tank out of his nose for at least 10 minutes and he went brain dead. So who knows how all these people die? So you're going to keep these folks from this natural disaster, the guy going to fire ash because they ain't take a vaccine? It's full of plan. And they're trying to control and manipulate society. This, who knows in this? I don't know. And I'm not taking it. Because as far as I heard, the vaccine make you feel worse with the virus. I know people that had virus in the vaccine. He said he felt way worse with the vaccine than the virus. So you think I'm going to take this vaccine? But the whole time you got to dodge them, wearing a mask, can't leave the house, seek someone. So this is my family. The mental trauma that you putting on me with the virus, you going to give this virus to me? Come on, man. Y'all, we can't be that in the situation, but they play us as if we is. And it's really a marking of our intelligence and our knowledge because some of us actually fall for it. And it's bull crap. All of it is bull crap. And it just frustrates me, the whole situation with the coronavirus. How you shut down the whole side. Now you feel like you can pay us for that. Give us all these loans. Give us all this money. And it's okay. You can put a lot of people experimenting. Now you want to give us a vaccine. Now you want to control us with these vaccines. It's fucking real life, bitch. Y'all playing with a vaccine. You got to get real about the situation. The situation is playing. I don't know if they got any vaccine, but it can't be helped. Not at all. I get them like that.
All right, go ahead, Brother Zahi. We know he at work, so we'll give him a second to give us an answer. But I totally agree with you on that because it seems like that is just ludicrous that they think they are going to be able to control somebody's life by threatening them with a vaccine. And just like you, I've heard people... This lady was supposed to go in and give a kidney to one of her family members. But, you know, she had to take the vaccine before she could go in the hospital. Took the vaccine, she was dead within the next hour. Couldn't even get the lady the kidney. Now, this is somebody that's in perfect health. You see what I'm saying? So, what made her die all of a sudden? You see what I'm saying?
It had to be them.
Thank you.
But They'll label it. Anything that kills you, they done labeled it with coronavirus. They done, COVID-19 did it. Come on, man. Now COVID-19 going away, I don't hear too many COVID-19 cases.
Thank you. And then if you Google...
Let me just disappear.
Thank you. And that Google flu diagnosis and... You know, all those diseases that they would just, oh, we just have so many of this going on this year. This, you Google that for 2019, 2020, you won't even find stats for those things because they've labeled every death coronavirus. And I keep telling our people, they don't understand that these people in these hospitals, they get 30,000 or more per death. That is labeled coronavirus.
It's all the economic boost. And that's why I feel like it's all here to boost the economy. They didn't social distance, they didn't took us away from work. Now the economy is basically crashed. Now they all this money. Just to help with the economy boost. And then they giving out the EA. They gotta give out the vaccine because they can't all these nurses to go here and there, down here. All over the country, so they got the money somewhere, so now they just pumping the money back in. You get unemployment for 5 months. Then you come back into a PPP loan for $20,000. Where they getting all this money from?
Exactly.
Who's sponsoring all this money to give out?
Exactly.
It was all a plan. I feel like COVID-19 were all a plan to boost the economy and keep the top hat. Because you got to think about who all invested in this whole virus. All the top has been invested in this virus, and now it is boosted to come like this. They knew they were going to get the back end. They knew they were going to get the back end of the whole situation, and they didn't care who died, who had sacrificed for it.
And they giving these white people, these Chinese people that own these businesses, they giving them loans, but then when the black people come to get the loans, they trying to take them out of jail. They are handing out coronavirus funds to everybody except for us. And I say
we all get denied.
Yep.
All of us get denied.
That's wild. See, I've been thinking the same exact thing. That is so wild. Because, and then, like, working with these vaccines, right, like, I know that y'all have, you all was laying down there in Mississippi, right? So, like, the New Africa, we want these five states. I also work with Mile High News as a correspondent, and we have land up there. We've acquired 40 more acres, so now we almost have like 80, 90 acres. We're trying to get that, you know, as a black community so they can network. They got the 19 families in Atlanta. These pockets of us trying to get this independence. How do you see us getting those communities like that, getting them built up right, where we can network with each other and build our economies in our city, those pockets and more pockets like this? How do you think we can do this? Have you ever thought about this?
I actually feel something like that, and I feel like that's the best way to start. I feel like you should start small. And once you they should see what I'm doing. That should be okay. This is funny. Because me personally, when I went to Detroit with my father, I saw a model of a black nation. And I like, this is how we should model our BYLM. This is what we should do. And I feel like once y'all get started with our communities and make our small economics and politics together to where y'all provide for yourself and survive on y'all own, that will fester out and branch out to more guys and more communities. And I feel like that's a great start for y'all and for us as a black country, as a black community. And I feel like that'll be great. That's perfect. And I'll have to get more in depth with another thing. We could talk about it and see what y'all got going and how y'all got planned. Me personally, I don't know. I like to be in tune with what y'all got going on. But I do feel like that's a great way to start.
I say. Lieutenant Jahi, are you able to come in the conversation yet?
I'm back. I'm sorry. I'm doing security work at this Ole Miss game, so I had to go out, go to a post real quick because it was a disturbance at one of the gates. I had to go over there real quick. But,
We understand. Go ahead.
We were talking about land. Land is wealth. Look at the, especially Mississippi, we are an agriculture state. We built on agriculture. And so we must understand this. We have land. You can control that land. You can cultivate that land however you want. You can control it. Well, our Baba always tell me all the time, Jahi, what is control? He broke it down to me. He said control is you start something, you manipulate it, and then you have the ability to stop it. That is control. We must control the land because the land can give you food. The land can give you cotton so you can make clothes. That's how you build economical wealth in a community. But we as a people got to understand this is well, this is how we control our destiny going forward. Like our Bible here, he has land. He grew in cold water. That is powerful. That's powerful by any means. You have the ability to control what you eat. Because we don't know what they're doing with these foods now in these supermarkets. We don't know what is in these foods. So we must understand as a people, we must control and cultivate land. And do for self. That's the key aspect of doing for self, when you control something, especially when you control land. And going forward as a people, we must understand this, that land is power. As a people, we can start our own market within our communities. We won't have to depend on Walmart. We don't have to depend on Kroger. We don't have to depend on Piggly Wiggly. We can go to our markets in our own community. I tell people all the time, you just wait. You would think land is important and growing food is important, let's say Walmart and Kroger and all these big time corporations market go out of business or bankrupt, then you will, how you say, up a creek with no paddle. So going forward, land is key. Land is key to controlling our destiny. We gotta take the land back. Just like Black Wall Street. I tell people, do your research. The information is out there. Do your research. These Black Wall Street was the most powerful economical base for Black people in their time. And look what they did. They destroyed it. Because they understood these Black folk got that they have doctors, they have lawyers, they have banks, they have markets, they have schools. On what? Land. They built that on land. So we as the people must go forward. Land is wealth. Land is controlling our destiny as a people. So we got to cultivate the land. That's key. You must grow your own food. You must grow your own cotton. You must grow everything possible so you have a chance, you would be able to produce. And we as a people in the capitalist, so we live in capitalism. And one thing key aspect of capitalism is this. You have producers, you have consumers. We as a people are at the bottom of capitalism because we are not able to produce nothing. We are consuming everything. So we must understand in this capitalist society that America has built, we must be able to produce and must be able to distribute that produce, what we produce through our own community. Look what the Asians, the Arabs are doing. They come into our community, taking the wealth out of our community. They're not distributing their wealth throughout the Black community. They're distributing their wealth in their community. So therefore, land is wealth. Land is key for do for self. Land is key to control our destiny. But first, we must think like this. We must think as a nation. What is a nation without land? So you must cultivate and control land going forward. And when you have that land, therefore you can influence your own politics, your own policies, your own social constructs in that said community. But we must do for self and we must control and take back the land. How you say, free the land to the people. I yield the mic.
Free the land, free the land. Exactly, exactly. I'm telling y'all speaking this truth today. I love it. I love it. And it's coming from young voices. That's what's so impressive to me because I'm telling y'all, man, it's hard raising children in this sick-ass society and world, especially when you don't know what's going on from the beginning, right? And that's going to take us right on this next question I have for y'all. Because I'm going to tell y'all, man, I've been sick, you know, focused on healing and doing different things, you know, investing in yoga class. I had my first committee yoga class and damn near fell out, but hey, it's necessary. So I want to talk about this on the aspect of men, right? Because like I said, all of us are hurt, you know, it's generational trauma. But a lot of women invest in their healing, you know, go to see, spiritualists, retreats together and different things like that. I think men need to do more of this, right? So I heard that you all do that. In your organization, I want y'all to speak on that healing aspect with the men, because like I said, a lot of our men are not focused on that, and that's why a lot of things keep happening in our community.
Go ahead, Kathy.
First I want to say healthy is wealth. And I know y'all probably heard that quote a lot, but it's true. Health is wealth. And I feel like those retreats, those yogas, those meditations is needed. The mind always need a rest. The body always need a rest. Everybody should be having some type of sanctum where they could relax their body, their mind, and their soul, because like you said, we out here, we seeing a lot of traumatizing things. We dealing with a lot of depressing things, and if you don't vent that out, that would cause a toll on your body. And what me and my brother Jaheed and I, BYLM brothers, what we try to do is, and we haven't done it yet, but we have made plans, man, go have a retreat, escape. Not just escape, but escape from your phone, escape from the TV. Sometimes you need to sit down and connect with the universe. So you go out on a wood retreat, which we have planned, and just communicate. Talk about your problem. You will realize and notice a lot about yourself if you disconnect from these phones, these television, these social media, and just enjoy nature. And I feel like that is a strong way to recover your body and your mind. It's basically connecting with the universe. And I feel like everybody should do that. Get your friend, get your brother, get your sister, and y'all just get away. Get away sometimes. Meditate. Eat. Just recover your body, because it's a toll out here and it's a lot of traumatic experience that we go through. And venting that out, talking to somebody about it, you'll be surprised how healing that'll feel to you once you're done. You talk to someone that understands your struggle, your pain, and what you're going through on a day-to-day basis, and they can cope with you with it, there's a lot of healing to your body and your mind. And I yield the mic there.
And one thing, like Amaya said, you know, your health is wealth. And we as a, you know, as a people, we go through a lot of traumatic things. Trauma is passed down to generations. It's passed, even passed down to the DNA. So we gotta take time to heal ourselves. You know, like we gotta take time, like we gotta get away from how you say the pain of society. And you know, as you know, we say black is like we as black men, a lot of people times say y'all don't talk about y'all feelings, but here's the thing, we are sometimes built to name talk about our feelings. You know what I'm saying? We not built. Sometimes we are raised to not talk about our feelings. It seems weak. But as a real man, though, you got to take time for yourself. And we understand, if we take time for ourselves and heal ourselves, then we be better black men, better black fathers to our black women and black children. But we got to take time to heal ourselves. Because the world is society, it's so built on destroying us. And therefore, we take that same destruction of the world that's on us, and then we take out our own women, our own children. And that's how you build a cycle of destruction. It's a continuous cycle of destruction when we do that. So we got to take time, even for black women, we got to take time to heal ourselves, to heal the trauma, to break these generational curses. We got to take time to break these. I know a lot of people don't understand that, but we must articulate ourselves to be clear. Health is wealth. Your mental health is key. So you don't take time to heal yourself mentally, it's going to be detrimental to your spirituality, to your spirit. And therefore, it'll lead down to your physical aspect. So we got to take time to heal ourselves from trauma. We got to take time to break the generational curses, to break the cycle of destruction that plague our people. So therefore, we got to take time to heal ourselves, to help as well. I yield the mic.
Hey, I say, I love it. You all have, this has been a phenomenal show. I have, I want to ask one more question, because again, congratulations, Lieutenant Ahmad, on the birth of your new prince. And I wanted to know, you know, with you becoming a new father, right? And Brother John, I'm not sure if you're a dad yet or not. But with becoming a new father in this world, right, of what's going on right now today, when you held your son the first time, what was your thoughts as a young man? I I just want to know how they feeling was.
When I first laid eyes and touched my son,
yeah,
it was a different feeling. I wasn't able to feel that I can't try, but it's all simple. And that feeling is like, once I touched him and I hear him and I felt his heart, he felt my heart, it's like, okay, I'm going to God for this guy. By any means, I'm going to get out of action. He tried to do that. But at the moment, I realized that I got somebody to defend him. So whatever I see, I get benefits for his well-being. And that power right there is push you to a different level. That understanding, that knowing that I'm the one that's gonna give him this knowledge, I'm the one that gotta give him this knowledge, made me up my game on what I know. Made me lock into whatever I got to put in action, because he learned from me. He looked up to me, and I embraced that role. And I myself got having a great father. I realized the effect and the support and the encouragement and the confidence come from having a great father, and I want to be that for him. And I embrace that role with honor and dignity, and that drives me every day, waking up knowing that I got to be the one to give him what he needs to be successful and sustain a strong spirit, soul, and warrior's mentality in this wicked world. And I'm going to let him know that this world is wicked, and only your people care for your well-being. And you got to be able to decipher the naive one. I'm going to get him that knowledge. And I'm going to make sure that he understands what society lives in, and he be able to maneuver through this society, because it's very tricky, and you can't fall victim if you're not woke to what's going on out here. And I always told myself, I told Jahia the other day, that we can't have our kids out here sleep to what's going on. They have to be aware of what's going on. And me knowing that I got a child, I can't let him fall victim to this society. I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure that he is straight and he understands and he know who he is as a black man. He know the power that he possesses as a black man. And he know that these people are trying to suppress you because they know that power that you have as a black man. And he will stand on it with pride.
I say. But Brother Jahi, are you a father, Brother Jahi?
Hold on. Give me about a couple seconds real quick. Hold on.
Okay. I love that, because that inspires young men to look at it. They got to stop leaving these babies. We had enough of it. You know what I'm saying? And we got
to
stop. And like I said, I hate what happened to that baby the other day, right? But it also starts in that household, because if a daddy was in that household, a daddy has to have more control in that household. I don't care what nobody says. You see what I'm saying? That's when that older elder comes in. Because if you are an elder in that household, that respect level should be, when you say something, you should be able to get control of your household. Because my household is not going to be an old where I have to call the people. You see what I'm saying? So we got to start holding ourselves accountable as well. We can't keep saying white man, white man. We know what they do. I did not call no pig to my house. To settle what? He don't come to settle.
Exactly.
He comes to kill. So why would I call him to settle something in my house when it's my house? I'm the elder. I should be able to control.
Most definitely.
What are your thoughts on me?
You writing me that.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. Apologies. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So are you a father?
No, ma'am. No, I am not.
I do know that you love the youth, though. I know that you love the children. I want to know your thoughts on the children being our key to the future, because that's the only way we're going to get there. And most of these dumb old folks think they're going to lead the path, and it's not going to happen. Because I don't even think our leader is born yet because it's going to be born. It's going to be an army of them little things born at the same time, I feel. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, the children is our future. And like Amaya said to my nephew, Kente, who is the next generation of leaders, and we must cultivate their minds, the young minds, because we understand these public institutions called schools is going to indoctrinate them, going to make sure they don't rise up into the leaders they are meant to be, as leaders as Africans, young Africans. So in my, I'll say this. My nephew, Kente, is the second wave of new generations.
Okay, we're gonna let him hold on a second. But Lieutenant Ahmad, like I said, this has been a very, very awesome show. I appreciate you all coming on today. Y'all have dropped some powerful jewels from some young, black, unapologetic young brothers. I love it. I want you to give us a closing together, brother. Did I hear you back?
I'm back. Go ahead. Let me say my closing remark of this. We as a people are strong, and we must understand that we are descended from a powerful continent. Africa is not a country, it's a continent, and we are descendants of that. And now it's 2021. The new generation is here. The new generation of revolutionaries and liberators is here. And we're here. We're not going nowhere. We're unapologetically black and proud. You can't shut us up. And excuse my rhetoric here. You damn sure can't shut me and my brother Ahmad Rahim up. Because we're here and we ain't going nowhere. You got to deal with us now. And we'll come for you. We'll come for your neck. And anybody who's a threat to us and to our people, we're a threat to you. And I say this, the BYLC, the BYM, the Black Liberation Movement is here, and we're not going nowhere. We just getting started. The fire, the wildfire is here. All right, you're the mic.
I say.
I enjoy myself, Queen, and I always enjoy talking with you, and I thank you for letting us connect to our people, because as we all know, power is in the people, and the people have the power. So when we get to spread our knowledge and share our wealth of mind with our people, I'm always honored to do that, and I always enjoy doing it, and that's my passion, and that's what my heart lays. So I appreciate you, Queen, for having us on your show again, and yes, I will always be tuned in to you. I love your posts. I love everything that you do, everything that you got going on, and I love the fact that you stay connected to us and you keep guiding us and influencing us with positivity and influencing your people with positivity, and that's the most powerful thing that you can do as a black person, is connect with your people, guide your people, and that's what I want to do, and that's what we do as a BYLC organization, and thank you.
I say, thank you. I want y'all to give us some contact information in case people want to reach out and support and different things like this. Like I said, thank you all for sparing this time with me today. This has been very powerful. Once it downloads and everything, all you have to do is just go back and hit the link, but I'll send you all the link again in your inbox. Thank y'all, because I'm putting this in my archives. I love this. If there's anything else you all want to say, like I said, please give us your contact information, and we're going to go ahead and close it out. Thank you all for joining us today, family. We want to thank Lieutenant Jaheen and Lieutenant Ahmad of the BYIM and the Black BYLC. That's the Black Youth Intelligence Movement and the Black Youth Leadership Coalitions out of Mississippi. All right, go ahead, y'all. Thank y'all.
Yes, you can reach us. Our IG account, BYIM underscore MS. That's our IG account. That's the BYLC and BYIM IG account. BYIM underscore MS. That's all lowercase letters on Instagram. And like I said, you can reach out to us, me or Mod, on Facebook. My Facebook name is Jam the Achilles. That's J-A-M the Achilles. And like I said, we are honored. We are proud to be on this call. Because like I said, we just getting started. And we as a people must connect to our people. We must reach out to our people. We must expand to our people to ensure our liberation and our glory. And to represent the new era of liberators and revolutionaries for our people. And love for the people. And I yield the mic to my captain, Ahmad Raheem.
And you can contact me at Ahmad, that's A-H-M-A-D, Alexander, A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R, on Facebook. And you can contact me on Instagram at underscore A2X5. And that'll be the plug for it. Free Queen, you can close it out.
All right. All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for joining us at the Truth and Power Corner. Again, this has been a great, awesome show with Lieutenant Jaheen and Ahmad of the BYIM and the BYLC out of Mississippi. Thank you all. All power to the people. Black power.
Peace and power.
Jay.
Sometimes I think if I could change my color, but what I wanna be. They say the whiter the brighter, you black, you a fighter. 401 years of oppression, but still manage to pull up in that 2027. That's good credit, right? Gotta keep your hustle tight. Take care of your kids, cause that karma hit. And I ain't got no daughters, but I wish I did. These little boys I got, I swear they gotta be militant. Yeah, cause these people keep killing me. And I'll be damned if a could take mine on some racist. That's why I teach them about black facing. And the KKK, that's something we can't escape. Escape. Son,
they don't like you cause you black. Son, they gon' judge you from the start. Son,
don't want no hate up in your heart, but you gotta move smart. They gon' judge you cause you dark.
Mama, they really had kids in the field. They don't care how it feels. Slavery paid the bills. Mama, this is no more design for us to fail. How you give a man freedom but don't give a man a bill? Well, mama, what happened to 40 acres and mules? The only time they respect us is when we keep them a meal. Why they making us out of food? Those stereotypes are old. We're going for something to prove. We gotta think harder, we gotta be smarter. They said by the third grade if I can't read, I'ma be just like my father. And that's incarcerated. What happened to proclamation emancipation? I gotta learn all my history. It's a mystery. My teacher keep on bringing up slaves. I can keep missing me.
Listen, a wise man once said, education is the passport to the future. But tomorrow belongs to who prepared for today.
Back in the days, I used to wanna be the cop. The good God, till Rihanna got stopped. I couldn't imagine my mama is all I got.
So they keep their knee on our neck, it's a sacrifice when we die. George Floyd, y'all killed him, it's no excuses. Over a fake 20, really, that shit was gruesome.
You mean to tell me that Abraham Lincoln didn't really free the slaves?
They don't like you cause
I'm
you
so
black.
I'm so tired of protesting, but we can't stop protesting until we get our reparation. And we can't stop buying all up in the store, Gucci and Dior, until we get our reparation. Cause as soon as our money starts spinning, this ending, they gon' forget everything that we was fighting. They gon' remember why they hated from the beginning. And we gotta go.